This point in time, we are going to dismiss for Children's Church and Junior Church. And again, if you haven't thanked those who are investing time and preparation and prayer, why don't you let them know sometime how much you appreciate what different leaders do to really try to bring the reality of who God is and why He came into their lives. That's so important. If you haven't figured it out yet, the theme of what we're going to be focusing upon is prayer. And there's so much that we could choose to aim at, and so many little snippets as to what is prayer. And yet part of prayer really is to try to connect our hearts to the heart of God. And what makes His heart throb, if I can use that human picture, is really what should also just weigh on our hearts. And Deb's going to come up and share something that I would hope we would all be prayerfully interested in. So Deb, if you would, come on up.
I finally made it up here. Hi, everybody. Hope your day is going well. I wanted to share a little bit about an abortion issue that's going on in California called AB 2223. One thing's for sure, it's a good thing I didn't come up here the first time I heard about this, because that would not have been good. This bill, obviously, is an abortion issue. It is not the only abortion issue on the docket out there. I was shocked when I did research to see what else was going on. California, well, it's not Ohio, but what happens in California comes along this way. Not that it's only in California. This bill is in the East Coast, so, you know, we need to be praying about the life of these unborn children. But I want to read a couple scripture verses, and the first is Psalm 139, 13 through 15. For you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. And then John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's pretty easy to understand. If it's to steal, kill, or destroy, doesn't have to be human life, but anything, our feelings, our love, or whatever, it's not coming from Christ. He's here to give us life and to give it to the most full. So anyway, the bill, AB 2223, states that a person will not be subject to civil or criminal liability or penalty based on their actions with respect to their pregnancy or actual pregnancy outcome, including miscarriage, stillbirth, or abortion, or perinatal death due to a cause that occurred in utero. That was a revision, that little sentence right there, that occurred in utero. That was not in it before. So that meant that they could not be prosecuted for a perinatal death. Perinatal death is defined up to a number of days or weeks after birth, up to 28 days. That got me there. That's a living child up to 28 days that we can't prosecute someone for. Okay. So the bill would shield mothers and those who aid her from prosecution of fetal or perinatal deaths due to drug use, back alley abortions, botched abortions, and would also make it more difficult to investigate abuse which would could lead to the death of a child within 28 days. Partial birth abortions, or even infanticide. The bill would delete the requirement that the coroner hold an inquest for a death related to criminal abortion or this death. If the coroner does an investigation on the cause of the death of a stillborn or a newborn up to several weeks, the information collected cannot be used to prosecute anyone with a crime if the mother claims the child's death was caused by something that occurred in the womb. Okay. The bill would also allow women to sue law enforcement for investigating or threatening her pregnancy outcome. This would greatly deter law enforcement from investigation of suspicious deaths of newborn babies. Knowing the history of lawmakers, is it just going to stay? I mean, when's it going to go to 2 months or 3 months? Or that's just my big concern. It's not going to stay there. Not that that is right, but it's going to continue to broaden and broaden and broaden. Just like when abortion started, it was what, 6 weeks? Okay, now it's full term. So, I mean, that's a concern because it won't stop there. So when I've shared this information with people, they're like, oh, Deb, that's never going to pass. It's never going to pass. And I said, well, yeah, it is, because it has already passed many of the committees in the state. And I said, and if people like us don't get involved and do something, pray, call people that we know in California, tell them this is going on, because when I contacted my niece and nephew, they didn't really think it was true. And they live out there. So, I mean, if we know anybody out there, call them, let them know what's going on. The interesting thing is, that Jeff and I found out, is that this is going to be voted on tomorrow in the Senate Appropriations Committee. So this will be one step farther. So, we need to stand and we need to fight for God's righteousness and what he stands for, and that is life. And if we don't, who will? And if we don't do it now, then when will we? And if not this issue, then what issue? And we need to do it because God wants us to stand and to fight for the unborn and the born. And remember, every abortion wounds a mother and ends an innocent life. Our opinion doesn't matter. I've talked to people, they all have different opinions about abortion. Well, our opinion doesn't matter. God is a God of life. That's it. So what can we do? Like I said before, we can contact people we know. Let them know it's out there and let them know it's real. I have a website that I go to see what's going on in the legal system, and so there is very dependable, moral or religious issues that are out there. So anyway, we need to pray for the bills that are going on in this entire nation. But this really brought it to light for me. So if we could pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We would ask that you would defeat these bills that are against what you stand for. We know you can. And so now we pray that you hear us and that you know our hearts are in it, that you would defeat this bill. Would also pray to open the eyes and hearts of the legislators, not only in California, but all across the nation and in Washington, D.C. And then we pray that those in California that are Christ followers, that they will step up and speak up to protect the born and the unborn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Deb. I think oftentimes it is so hard not to feel as if, who am I and what role can I play and what impact can we have? And we almost make a determination of our impotence before we really even try to do much. If you haven't gathered, our focus this morning is going to be on prayer. And we're at what I think is both a crucial time and extremely significant time in the life of this body as we are aiming to have a pastoral transition. Everybody might have different expectations, the rate at which we are moving. Let me just say that we are continuing to make progress in that direction. So part of the progress is it's exciting as we prayerfully start to think about who God might want to bring in our midst so that this body can continue to be a shining light to the truth and the grace of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. And at the same time, throughout that entire process, it is very crucial. I don't think we have to think too much to realize if we spend much time with each other, we have a variety of different opinions on almost everything. And so how do you bring opinions ultimately in, you hope, prayerful submission to the recognition of a very real personal God in a way that allows us to move forward? I know last week Aaron Fry was here, and one of Aaron's emphases throughout his message, which I thought was really just a good heartfelt challenge, is that the Lord actually longs for a relationship with us. And if you think about the core values that we're going through, prayer is our third core value. The first one was the Word. The second one was worship, and this one is prayer. And those first three core values sort of focus upon truth as it relates to our relationship with God primarily, and how His Word and our response to His Word is so crucial. It really, really is. And if you think about how God's Word describes God, and if we really grasp that there is this God that is indescribably, incomprehensibly beyond us, and He has desired a relationship with us, and we grasp that, it should just naturally lead to that concept of saying, God, You really are amazing. And we are extremely grateful. And then you think of any real relationship. I sort of laugh and smile because if I said, so tell me about your marriage, we might have stories all over the place. But typically what brings people together is that they, believe it or not, they actually enjoy each other. And usually there might be some different people, but usually they actually want to spend time together. And so there are concepts, much like prayer, that are somewhat picturesque. The Bible creates human pictures for us all the time to describe our relationship with God. And so prayer is that connecting link and wanting to spend time with one who means so much to us. And the relationship is so valuable. And even before we get really started, what gets in the way of a relationship? Busyness? Distractions? All kinds of things screaming at our attention? And I don't know about you. I don't plan to take my wife for granted. I don't plan to not spend time with her. I don't plan to have our relationship little by little do this. And again, maybe you're not like me, but what I've found is the habits of the heart are pretty captivating. And at least in the life of Jeff Millay, I honestly cannot think of a good habit that comes naturally. I really can't. All the ones that really, when you look at and analyze and you think, that's probably not the best habit, those are the ones that come natural. Oh, the dishes need to be washed. I am so glad she loves to wash dishes. Or do I think, you know what? I have two hands. And I know where the soap is. And I could actually pitch in and communicate that I love you by doing something like that. You want to guess which one typically comes in first? But I've just found that almost every good habit requires focused intentionality. How many people in a room of this size haven't tried some kind of diet? A variety of diets. And I don't say that other than to say, it just doesn't seem to come natural. And you actually find yourself having a distaste for people with a high metabolism that seem to be able to eat anything, and there's no visible sign that they have any body fat. Those good habits take effort, intentionality, and consistency. And I think that's also true in any relationship. If it's going to grow, if it's going to develop, if it's going to be strengthened, if it's going to really have a camaraderie of spirit and a oneness of spirit, it takes intentionality. And I appreciate what Deb said. Her opinion doesn't matter, in case you were wondering. We're just making it public. And the truth is, my opinion doesn't matter. And so what we're trying to do is really hear God's heart. And so as we look to hear God's heart, would you join me in prayer and ask that His Spirit might speak to us and we might be kindly, willing, enjoyably to respond. Father, there's so much to thank you for. I thank you this morning for the songs that took our hearts and our minds to the reality of your desire for a relationship with us. And how you, Lord Jesus, you not only have done so much to secure and make that relationship possible, you are carrying on a ministry right now for our good in our behalf. And Lord, we want to know your heart. Your heart that has given us life, and your heart that has offered us a second life, a life of an eternal relationship of satisfaction and fulfillment with you. Lord, may we be receptive to all that you want to say to us, and may we dependently upon you ask your Spirit to help us be and to become who you've designed us to be. It is in your name that we pray, Lord. Amen. There's a silly story Actually, I thought of Charlie Adam, but there's a silly story about a young little whippersnapper, and he had said to his dad, he said, I really would like a brother or a sister. And the dad said, well, you know, that's God lets us pray. And I know Charlie wanted a brother, and God answered that prayer. Well, in this story, the little boy wasn't particular, but he was praying, and so he really was fervent about praying. And because of his age, he really wasn't aware of everything going on. And the truth is, mom was already carrying a child in her tummy. And so dad knew that the prayer was going to be answered. And the little boy's praying, and he just doesn't know why he doesn't have a brother or sister yet. And he keeps praying. And finally, much like us, the little boy just said, this is useless. I've been praying every day for a brother or sister, and I don't have a brother or sister. And so, like most of us, that little child just quit praying. Well, a couple months later, the birth of a child takes place, and dad says, son, I want you to see how God answered your prayer. And so the son comes in, and he sees his mom, and he sees a little baby, and the next thing he sees another little baby, and mom had twins, and dad said, see what happens when you pray? And he said, dad, you can just be thankful I quit when I did. But the thought is, we're not quite sure how prayer works. We're really not. And I know a lot of you know that I was raised Roman Catholic, and I don't say anything to be critical or condemning. That seems to be our nature. And yet, obviously, there was a lot of truth that was poured into my life and into my mind by sincere people. And yet, because of a lack of a relationship with the Lord, it really didn't mean anything. And oftentimes, even the prayers we learned and memorized, I don't say it in a positive way, I could not start the prayer out slowly and say it meaningfully, because it had become such a habit of the heart. The only way I could say the Lord's Prayer or the Hail Mary or our prayer before a meal was to just sort of dive in at 90 miles an hour. And, you know, when you're praying 90 miles an hour, it doesn't matter whether you're articulate or not. You're just zipping through it. And when you're done, and you can go on with whatever. And so we're going to end up spending some of our time in Matthew chapter 6. And I know we've looked at Matthew chapter 6 in the past a little bit. And the thought when we're in Matthew chapter 6 is there are a lot of churches that have taught a memorized prayer. And there are a lot of us that are sitting in this room that if I said, who can pray, whatever you want to call it, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, there are a lot of people here that could actually say that prayer. But I don't think that Jesus, when he was communicating with his guys, that he was really teaching them a prayer to be memorized. I really don't. And again, I think of relationships. And you think of who you enjoy spending time with. And maybe you have what you might call, if you were young, you'd say a bestie. And if you're older, you might just say, I have a really good close friend. And my thought that goes through my mind is, what would be, if you had that close friend, what's one thing that really just comes to the top as what's most important? Maybe not for you, but for me, a powerful thing is that Jesus' guys that hung with him every day said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And I just think, wow, when I look at a lot of the relationships I have here and other relationships with relatives or close friends, what would be, if I had to pick one thing to say, hey, would you teach me this? I'm not sure teaching me how to pray would be at the top of any relationship in terms of observation, interaction. But I have some good friendships where there are some very skilled, competent people that I can think about. Boy, if I could pick so-and-so's brain and one thing I really admire about them, the point being it wouldn't be, would you share with me how you connect with God? Because when I see you connecting with God, I just think, wow, that's what I want. There's something there that you have with God that I don't have. And yet that's seemingly what the Lord's guys asked him. And so, for lack of a better term, you know, Jeff Millay is standing here, and so part of what you get is Jeff Millay's personality. And I like acronyms. So even when it comes to prayer, I'm not this prayer guru or prayer genius, but sometimes I use the acronym ACTS. Why? Because the truth is, if I don't use something to direct my praying, ding, ding, ding. You ever pray and drive? And how long does it last? Maybe 5 seconds. Then all of a sudden you see a tree, and I wonder what kind of tree that is. Oh, I need to pay attention to the road. And a guy goes past you, and you think, jerk. You know, he almost cut me off. Oh, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, I was praying. Oh, let me get back to that. And the truth is, whether you want to blame something like ADD or just distractions in life, it is hard to focus. So one acronym, ACTS, is adoration. And I'm on A. And I really can praise God for a lot, but I can easily get distracted. So I jump back to the A. The C is for confession. And I don't know about you, it is usually not very difficult for me to see frailty. And we don't like the word sin, but it's a reality. Sin, where I'm not like Jesus, and that affects what I do, how I do it, and how I interact with others. So I can spend a lot of time on confession. And the T is thanksgiving. And that's good, because in any relationship, the more grateful you are for the person you're connected to, I've just found the healthier the relationship is. And then the S is supplication. And that's probably somewhat of a decent order. Because a lot of times praying is, hey, Lord, I want this. Or, hey, Lord, I need your help here. Or, hey, Lord, and it's very self-focused. So an acronym like ACTS helps. Another one I've used is just the word pray. And the P is praise. And the R is repentance. And the A is ask. And the Y is yield. And I need that one, because a lot of times I ask, and the truth is, I don't like his answer. I don't. I know what answer I want. And sometimes his answer is not now. And sometimes his answer is no. And so it really is difficult for me when God doesn't agree with me, because I really know what's best for me. And I just can't seem to get him to be convinced that what I know is best, he is saying, yep, as your heavenly Father, I agree, Jeff. You know better than I do what's best for yourself. So I share those, and what we're going to do when we look at Matthew chapter 6, basically verses 9 to 13, what I think Jesus was doing was he was giving his guys a principled pattern for prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying. I was taught it was the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, you who are in heaven, hallowed, or hallowed is how some people would say it, set apart is your name. Thy kingdom come. More modern translations, your kingdom come. Your will be done. on earth just as it is happening up in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts or trespasses, depending upon your translation, just as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. And then a lot of translations remove what was a closing praise, which is, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that prayer, but what I would like to do is not spend a lot of time, but maybe share some of those principles, just taking the salt block and putting it out there and getting the deer to find that salt block so it'll want to keep coming back, and hopefully it'll be that way as you basically want to pray. But the our element is real simple. It's just personal. There's a personal nature. And again, we have all kinds of relationships, and I know I've shared in the past that oftentimes our view of God is formulated primarily by our view of our dad or our parents. And if you had a dad that you really have difficulty respecting, there's probably a barrier between you and God. And I'm not saying my dad was perfect, but I would say that was the highlight of my childhood, truthfully, was my dad and the relationship I could have with him. And in some regards, I think one reason my relationship with my dad was as good as it was is because maybe my mom and dad's relationship wasn't what it was supposed to be. And as the youngest and everybody else out of the family, I got to spend a lot of one-on-one time with my dad, where I felt I got to know his heart and his motivations and his goals and his drives and his passions. So in one sense, for me to think about the fact that my dad's been dead for 40 plus years, actually we're going to be getting close to 50 years in a few years, I just think, wow. Wouldn't that be so cool if there was an ability to reconnect? It would be. And prayer is personal. And I think if we're not careful, that initial personal element we don't grasp. And yet, whether he said our Father for the benefit of his guys, there were a multiple number of guys, or whether he said our for our benefit, and it could be both, is because truthfully, we naturally gravitate towards self-centered praying. What I want, what I need, how I perceive life, what my feelings are, how I interpret circumstances, what is going on around me. And yet the very nature of prayer, it is personal, but you're connecting with a personal God. And as you look through that prayer, just as one thing I'm very thankful for about our music is, I would say our music is a very God-centered music. And it trickles down and impacts my life because of who he is and because of what he's doing. And that trickle-down effect is phenomenal, and I'm so grateful for it. But it doesn't start with me. It isn't all about me. And the whole thrust of prayer is, when you look at this prayer principled pattern that Jesus gives his guys, there's an element where it's our Father. And so our is personal. Father, just going to use all P's, I know some of you have heard this before, is paternal. But the element of having a good relationship with, I'd get in trouble a lot. I never had problems sinning. I think I've shared I'm very gifted there. And sometimes I knew I was in trouble because if my mom said, wait until your dad gets home, and my dad had a choice, am I going to take Jeff's side or am I going to take my wife's side? You can guess which one won. And there were times, because my dad went to work in a certain direction and he came home in a direction, I would go down to the end of the road where I knew he was coming home and wait for him because maybe I could buffer what I knew was going to be reality just a little bit. But again, there was a desire to spend time with my dad for me. There was a desire to just enjoy him. And the older I got, the more real that became. And so there is a sense in which a lot of times our concept of God and historically the concept of God, God was so big, so high, so holy that he was distant. And so Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 talks about this high and holy God. And a lot of times people didn't have trouble seeing that. But the verse also goes on and says he wants to dwell with those who are contrite and humble of heart. There's a sense in which how do you balance a God that really is holy? I'm not ripping on Roman Catholicism. I'm not saying every Roman Catholic was raised the way I was. But the holiness of God was emphasized to a degree that this is Jeff Millay's recollection. You know why you prayed to Mary? You prayed to Mary just like you prayed to your mama if your daddy wasn't a good guy. And when your daddy was going to deal with you, you didn't disobey very often because whether it was the belt or the woodshed, you knew it was going to be a memory you would never, ever, ever forget. And so you're begging mom to have him go mercifully on you. And that was, to me, a lot of the presentation is God is out to get you. And you just better hope it's a venial sin, boy. Because if it's a venial sin, you have another chance. But if you stepped over the boundary into a mortal sin, you better start practicing the sacraments really well because that's the only thing that's going to get you back. And the thought of a father that wants to enjoy our presence completely colors how you view, interpret your motives, your passion, your heart, your vulnerability, every aspect of your life. And so that was a new concept to his guys to hear that type of address. But here's 21st century American Christianity. Maybe I'm wrong. I can't put everybody in a box. We've so brought God down that he's just like a buddy. You know, Jesus, let's go to a bar, man. And yeah, you hung out with tax gatherers and sinners, so let's you and me just go have fun. And we almost bring him down to where, you know what? Anything and everything gains his approval and acceptance. So he is personal, and he is connected, and he is relational. But don't forget who he is. And it's not about me. So there's this priority, another P, a priority in that relationship, and that is hallowed or holy or set apart is your name. And it's not the concept of the name. Name back then reflected the entire person. And so when God revealed himself as the I am, when God continually gave names to himself in circumstances in people's lives, it revealed something about the character of God and the work of God as he connected with people. And so the truth is, there is a priority in this relationship. I am privileged to be in a relationship that is so personal and so intimate, but never forget that he is this set apart God that really is high and lifted up. But I am privileged to connect with him in intimacy. If that's what his word says, and worship is me declaring his worth as a result of recognizing that and how it pertains to me, well then think about it. Again, I know I've shared this. When you were a little kid, real little, you obeyed out of fear. And I got a lot of spanking, so there was an element of fear if I was going to disobey. But then as you got older, you realized my obedience can be pretty manipulative. If I obey, I might get my way.
So it pays to obey. It really isn't a love or this deep connection. It is very selfish. But as I hopefully mature, what I realize is, you know what? I really enjoy this person I have the privilege of calling a dad. And I want to spend time with him. And I don't want to hurt his heart. And I don't want to disappoint him. Not out of manipulation, but out of who he is and the fact that we have a relationship. And so there is this element where when I have a personal, paternal, prioritized relationship with the Father, I'm concerned about his heart. And the next statement is, your kingdom come. And so the picture is, it's about his program. He is king. And he's got this plan and this program. When his kingdom comes, and think about it relationally. When I was 20 and realized, I didn't grasp everything, but I could grasp that I was being transferred out of the domain of darkness under the deceptive, subtle influences of the enemy and my cooperation with him, and I was shockingly being transferred into the kingdom of light. Psalm 103, he didn't just see me in the mud and the muck and the mire. He picked me up, cleaned me off, and then said, hey, come enjoy supper with me. Feast with me. I want to enjoy you. And I'm thinking, wow, who would not want the abundant life he has to offer? I want to follow you. Lord, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do? And how can I enjoy coming alongside you? So it's your kingdom come. And part of that program is he plans to use people. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no problem with God's will being done in heaven. The problem is obviously God's will being done on earth. I want his kingdom to come. And he says, Jeff, this is how you can serve me and help me bring about the reality of my kingdom coming. And then it's, excuse me, can we press pause? That's not a P to write down in your notes, pause. But in my thinking, a lot of times it is press pause. Because I want his kingdom to come. But when it comes to his will being done in my life, just like it is being done in heaven, I'm not sure I'm sold out on that one. I want to be able to press pause, have a discussion, make sure that I don't just understand, but that he agrees with my understanding and my comprehension and my priorities and my feelings and my fears and my a whole bunch of things. And yet the principle that Jesus is trying to get across is, guys, it is a privilege to be a part of this team. And it is a privilege to know the Father. And those of us who have spent time in the Gospels, what was Jesus saying? Oftentimes, not my will, but your will be done. That's why I'm here. That's the plan that I'm trying to fulfill. And the way to find fulfillment and satisfaction is not to go after Jeff's plan. But to, like Jesus, somehow, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I don't grasp it, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And some of those early statements right there, our Father, you're talking personally, it's paternally. And then those next three, our Father, you who are in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of those really are right here, vertical. And then what we're going to see is a shift in that prayer, and it still has principles, but they take on more of a horizontal focus. And give us this day our daily bread. And what's that a picture of? God's provision. I know we all have different life stories, and I'm paying attention to the clock, so it's going to turn from whatever speed I'm going at to hyperdrive. But the thought is, partly because of my past, and I don't like the scars of the past, but it really is somewhat easy for me to realize how much I have to be thankful for and how God has provided in ways that I can't explain, I can't take credit for. I can't say I earned. I can't say I deserved. And so that the whole thought of give us today our daily bread is a recognition of God's provision. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Anybody here that's in a family not have a messed up family? I mean, really, you think, Austin, that's because you got a great grandmother, man. Yeah, you know what? I like that. I'm going to give you a hard time, Diane. You are privileged, Austin, to not live in a messed up family. But for the rest of us, we are in a pretty messed up family. And you think about it, a lot of life, the P is pardon. If Cindy and I are going to get along, there's got to be a willingness to say, I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know what? The way I said that, I'm sorry. I don't have an excuse. I'm not going to make up an excuse. And life just seems to be full of pardon. You don't build too much of a relationship. And one thing that Aaron showed, a cut from The Chosen, and I know a lot of you have seen that, and he referenced it. And one of the things a lot of people like about it is that it is trying to be true to Scripture, but it's trying to fill in those gaps. And it displays the humanness of people. They became followers of Jesus, but they didn't necessarily become perfect. And there was those continual friction points, and that's a lot of life. And the truth is, hey, you know what? I've shared this before, and you know it. When Cindy and I have a problem, you can pray for her. If she would just recognize her faults, things would get solved. But the next P is plea, when it says, lead us not into temptation. Because the truth is, let's say once Cindy does something to hurt me. What's my temptation? Oh, you hurt me? I'll show you what pain can be. You said something unkind to me? I can show you what saying something unkind back. Oh, you can get bitey? You haven't seen bitey yet, girl. I can show you what bitey is. And you can just spread that to a whole variety of things. But the plea is that we recognize how vulnerable we are and how dependent we are upon God and His Spirit, and lead us not into temptation. And I don't know about you, deliver us from evil. God is here, Satan is here. Satan is not an excuse, but the thought of deliver us from evil, translationally, it could be the evil one. So that is a very legitimate one. Deliver us from evil could be the internal recognition of my own self. But the point is, the P I'm using is protection. Lord, I am so capable of blowing it. I am so capable of being misled by the enemy and buying into the lie. I am so capable of hearing his subtle lie, 2 Corinthians 11:3, where Paul says, you know what? My fear is you're going to be led astray just like Eve was. The enemy is so subtle. He dresses himself like an angel of light. And James talks about the problem isn't other people. The problem is what? The problem's right here. Deliver us from evil, the evil within my own heart. I need God's protection. It's only arrogance and pride, and pride's not part of the P prayers. It's only arrogance and pride that would have me think I don't need God's protection. And then whether you think that next phrase should be in there, it's totally appropriate, because that last phrase is just praise. I have this privilege of prayer with who? The one who is king. I mean, really, think about absolutely the most powerful, the most stately, the one person you would put on a celebrity status and you would say they actually deserve it. And that person says, I want you to be my good friend. What a praise that the king wants me and wants to enjoy me. And not only that, I may not see it, but guess what? The praise is he's got all power. How many times have you not had an answer to prayer that is humanly incomprehensible. That is humanly, you can't explain it. And you're not trying to bring attention to yourself, but God has personally worked in a supernatural, mind-boggling way that has no explanation. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that I could ask or even think, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And it's only logical who should be given all attention and glory. And that is God Himself. As the music group comes up to close us in a song, my encouragement is, you know, different things happen for different people. And I'm not trying to create an impression thing. We live close to Jeff and Christy. One of the things that amazes me about Jeff is that a lot of times he runs on his own and is disciplined on his own and accomplishes things on his own. And there are a lot of things I do on my own, but I'm the type of person that actually it's a lot more enjoyable for me and easier to incorporate with someone else. Pray with your wife. Find a friend that you just say, you know what, can we connect together and spend a little bit of time praying? Because I really struggle on my own. And as they close us in prayer and as you meditate through the song and the closing prayer, please respond to God's Spirit.